providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In this segment, we are switching our focus and focusing more on the energy sector, as I am chatting with Joseph Schachter. He writes the Schachter Energy Report, also has a free report for everybody called Eye on Energy, which focuses on some of the fundamentals, the data that comes out around the energy sector. The Schachter Energy Report, that one is focused a bit more on some of the stocks and opportunities that Joseph sees available to investors. Joseph, let's start off with the underlying oil price. Oil has recently popped to around this $45, $46 region. Seems like a lot on the back of optimism that we're going to be getting back out to some sort of a daily life or our daily routine. What do you think about this pop? I assume you are not buying into this move higher, especially after our last few conversations.
Yeah, the basic issue here was there was fear that OPEC was going to raise production in January by 2 million barrels, going from their original, the cutback of 7.9 to 5.9, and UAE was not really keen on doing that, and Saudi Arabia, more importantly, wasn't. But UAE didn't like their quota, and they thought they should get more allocation. So there was a bit of a battle here between those who wanted to keep 6 months more volumes off the market and tighten it up and get inventories down, and those who said, the quotas or allocations were not fair. In the end, the smaller countries that wanted to get more allocation won. The government, the OPEC deal is for 500,000 barrels starting in January. Every month they're going to look at it, and they're going to look at either a plus or, up to 500,000 more. And so there's going to be a monthly meeting to kind of manage this process. What's interesting, though, is when they gave the allocations out, Russia got 125,000 barrels of it, and Saudi Arabia took 125,000, and all the smaller players who are the ones who've been cheating regularly, UAE, Iraq, Iran, Nigeria, Gabon, all of these have been producing over their official quotas. They all got minuscule increases in quotas, which means you're effectively saying that, these guys are going to continue to overproduce as they need revenues to sustain their, their governments and meet their, fiscal needs within each country. The other problematic thing is, of course, Libya, which has gone from under 200,000 barrels a day in September, is now at 1.3 million barrels a day as the civil war is over and the country has brought back production faster than anyone thought they would, because there was some damage to the pipelines and facilities, but they got them back on. And the country is now saying they'll get to 1.6 million by the beginning of 2021. So you've got, OPEC raising production, you've got Iran, cheating and selling more to, especially with a hope that the new government in the United States on January 20th will be more amenable to it. So they're planning to sell more to China and India. And India's the energy minister that said he's looking to buy more from Venezuela and from Iran. And then you've got Venezuela wanting to ship more. So there's going to be a lot more product coming on. And the question is demand. And that really, goes down to two issues. One, Asia's recovery is very strong, and China's now importing more than it was and consuming more than it was pre-pandemic in January, February of this year. The North America and Europe issue, where the pandemic continues to have debilitating impact on the economy. You saw today's job report in the States, which was half of what was expected in terms of new, gain in jobs. So we're looking at weakening issues until the vaccine comes out. And, the vaccine may be March, April, May. Well, between December and March, April is quite a bit of time. So I think the increased supply, weakness in demand until you get into late Q2, I think is going to make things difficult. And if we do see inventories rise, which I think is likely, in the United States, last week demand came down significantly. You saw crude oil demand fall by almost 700,000, 688,000. Finished gasoline demand fell by 156,000. and the even jet fuel, because you had the Thanksgiving long weekend and you had a lot more consumption of jet fuel, it still was 35,000 lower than the prior week. So we're looking at weakening demand as more lockdowns and more more issues are coming. And of course, when the new president gets inaugurated on the 20th, he's talking about masking and then regional hotspot shutdowns until the numbers come down. So I think prices of oil will back off from the 46 level where we are today. I think we're going to see sometime in December below 40. And then during Q1, the issue of how bad does the lockdowns occur, how severe do the number of caseloads go up, and then does Christmas prior to that Thanksgiving right now, the number of deaths in the U.S. is now at record levels. Does that accelerate and get even worse once Christmas is over because of people visiting and the same thing in Europe and Canada, et cetera? So I think we're going to be looking at first quarter where sub 40 is likely, and the question is how low below 40 do we go during Q1 and how weak do the economies get because of more coronavirus task force requirements of shutdowns.
Okay, so overall then, the supply and demand you still see as being bearish for the underlying oil price. But one other thing market-wise that we can look to is the continued breakdown in the U.S. dollar and how a breakdown in the dollar does support higher, broadly, commodities prices. How much of a role do you think that dollar breakdown is playing currently in that move up to about $45, $46 a barrel? And if the dollar remains weak, could it help support generally higher prices than the supply and demand factors are telling you?
Yeah, I think that's a good point about the dollar. We've gone from 94, 95 on the dollar exchange to 90, 91. There's some forecast that it could go below 90. Weakening U.S. dollar means commodity prices usually elevate, and we've seen that in the metals, base metals, grains, and other things. But I think at some point the rising yields, especially on the 10-year and longer yields, where we've almost had a doubling in the 10-year yield, now we're pushing almost 1%. The spread between the U.S. and Europe and Japan and other countries is widening materially, and the U.S., of course, is needing so much new debt to be sold. If the Fed is not monetizing it, then that means the market has to come up with the money, which means higher yields to attract investors, and I think at some point that will stabilize the U.S. dollar, especially because that spread is getting so wide. If the U.S., if the dollar starts to strengthen 92, 93, 94 back where it was just a few months ago, that would be part of the push to lower the commodity price for crude oil and other commodities during Q1 of 2021.
Okay. Now, in terms of, I guess, moves in terms of the stocks, we are entering the end of the year, and we do hear about tax loss selling, and quite frankly, well, oil stocks, energy stocks broadly have been under quite a bit of pressure, except some of those clean energy aspects or sectors. But what do you think about tax loss selling further, driving down some of these stocks?
Well, we've had, people need to remember that we started the year at 146 on the S&P TSX Energy Index. We're 92 today, so we're still down 37-38% year to date. So sometime during the next 2 to 3 weeks, we're having a good day today on the upside, but we're on, being Friday. But the key is we're going to be seeing tax loss selling activity start in the next week or two, and it usually lasts till just before Christmas. So my expectation is that next week will be a critical week to start seeing some of this tax loss selling, and then people will be looking at, if they own a stock that was at 8 at the beginning of the year, and it might have been 2 at the low, but it's at 4. If they've taken capital gains elsewhere, then they're going to still want to trigger those losses, so they pay less in taxes to the federal government. So my expectation is that we will see quite a bit of tax activity. And also in the states, they're talking about raising the capital gains tax rate. So I think you're going to see sometime in the next week where people are going to be in both sides of the border taking both profits and losses to take advantage of the current tax regime, which probably will change once the Biden regime gets elected in the United States.
So do you see a certain group of stocks or sector of stocks within the energy and oil sectors being one that maybe is already very depressed, and any further sell-offs do entice investors, or at least entice you to move in to get some maybe stocks on sale, let's say?
Yeah, my favorite area is the natural gas sector. I think, you know, we're seeing LNG take off from the United States. We're seeing natural gas consumption in Canada picking up. We're getting closer 2023-2024 to LNG Canada coming on. Within Alberta, TransAlta is closing their coal-fired facilities over the next 2 years and going to natural gas-fired. Suncor is building a cogen facility so that they can meet some of their goals for climate, you know, for the ESG issues. So my guess is that that's going to be the favorable commodity. So any weakness that we see in the natural gas sector, that's my favorite. I like light oil and condensate because we're still importing quite a bit of condensate in the country. The area that I'm concerned about is if we see sub 40 again, those companies in the oil sector, in the oil sands and heavy oil, that have high debt loads and have, you know, high break-even costs and have, you know, have, you know, bank relationships where the debt maturities are near-term, those are the companies that I think will be the most vulnerable on this coming upcoming correction. And what people can do, I would recommend they do, is upgrade in quality, like maybe take your loss now. And if you want to be in any of the sectors, take advantage of the weakness that's coming and upgrade your quality to companies with you know, cleaner balance sheets, generating free funds flow, stronger managements. There's a lot of companies out there where you know, I'm seeing managements not owning much stock. I prefer to own companies where the managements have significant investment. You know, their money is there before yours. So there's a lot of things people can look at to do to high grade their portfolios in the coming weeks.
Okay. Hey, Joseph, I appreciate the insights. Thank you for taking part in this weekend show. And the energy sector has been obviously interesting, but I think we're still waiting for some sort of better news to drive oil substantially higher, because you look at where it was really for the last decade, and it was generally at higher prices than this, other than that big washout we had earlier this year. Thank you for your time, Joseph. I'll chat with you again in another month or so.